Thank you for joining us here at Celebration Church, where we celebrate God, celebrate people, and celebrate life. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Thank you, Benaiah and Charlie. It's so good to be at Celebration Church. What an amazing church you have. As soon as I walked onto the property, I was just like, this is a beautiful, rich place. My name is Chris, and this is my beautiful wife, Beth, and we are both pastor's kids growing up, so instantly we clicked with Benaiah, and we are from a great town called Newcastle, where we are raising four wonderful world changers. We've got River, who's 10, Abel is 8, and we've got two little twins who are 3 and almost 4, and they're almost four, and they are into everything right now, and we are really blessed to be in this season. We lead a church in Newcastle called Hope Unlimited Church under Mark and Darlene Check, and it's with their blessing that we stand before you today, and just incredible leaders, and we are just really enjoying what God is doing. What we're seeing right now is what I felt as it came in here was very similar. It was countercultural, you know, like it's not in every church, it's not the normal. And when you are in one that has young adults and young people and vibrancy and a kids ministry, you can easily just think, oh, this is normal. It's not normal right now. And that's sad, but you must recognize this as the blessing of God upon what's going on in here and God actually giving you favor. You know, we can get favor with buildings and properties and all these kind of things, but the favor of generations is way beyond the favor of anything else we could get. And so to see a church with generations has just really done my heart a lot of joy. And so that was what the enemy would love to do. He always wants to attack the generations that are coming through. But I just sense in here there is such a strength. And so I'd love to start off in pray. And I've got a couple of words for people, but we will get to that at the end of the message. So why don't you close your eyes and just be ready to hear from God today through His Word, through His alive voice in us. So, Lord, we welcome You. God, we just cancel distraction and we cancel, Lord, even any expectation of what's about to happen. And we just go, Lord, have Your way. We love Your Word. We thank You that it is a light unto our feet, God, a lamp unto our path. And so today we lean in and individually, we just pray that You would minister to each and every person here today. I pray You'd minister to me, Lord. Lord, and we just pray, Lord, over this great church and over this great region, the blessing and the favor of God. And we call out, Lord, fire and revival to fall in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're going to be reading this morning from Isaiah 6. Verses 1 to 8. So if you want to turn with me there, this is a beautiful, powerful passage that I've felt a lot of connection to over the years and learned a lot from. And it's a bit of a heart message for me. And I'd love to just share it with you today. So it's talking about the Holy Spirit and God Himself burning within us. And so we read here in verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of His robe filling the temple. If you're old enough, you will remember Ron Canole singing, "The train of His robe fills the temple with glory. The whole earth is filled." Verse 2, seraphim stood above Him. These are also called burning ones, these angels that live close to the throne of the Lord. Seraphim stood above Him, each having 6 wings. With 2 they covered their face, and with 2 they covered His feet, and with 2 He flew. And one called out to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of Him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away and your sins forgiven. This is God's beautiful word. I love the picture that Isaiah paints here, the angels circling the throne of God. You know, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, you know, we have an eternal hope. And one day we will see the same visions and we'll see the same pictures and characters. These seraphims are not imaginary fake creatures. They are real creatures made by God that you and I one day will behold and see. And it's incredible to think that the word on our tongue when we sing is holy. Lord, you are like no one else. Holy, you are completely different. You are not like us. You are not like anything else created. You are the creator. You are different to us and we worship you. We cry holy. This is the same language of heaven that the angels cry and sing. The ones who live in close proximity to God are still not familiar with his presence, right? They are still haven't grown lukewarm and like, oh yeah, hey God, high five, good to see you, buddy. Good day, mate. No, he is holy. The closer they get, the more they declare the goodness and the holiness of God, that you are not like us, and so we worship you. You know, isn't it incredible to know that we can sing in this day and age and join in with the song of heaven? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And so we see two locations. We see the location of the throne, right? And we see the temple filling. And it seems as though Isaiah here is on the ground. And it says that on the ground, smoke begins to fill. And, you know, for the production people that like a smoke show at the church, this is biblical proof that smoke is spiritual. It's in the Bible. Smoke machines are in. Jokes. But this smoke, like, I would read this as a child and just it would just paint the picture, you know, like a Steven Spielberg movie or something. It's like a special effect of a great moment that's about to happen. You know, it's hazy. But as I've grown up and I learned how to make a fire, I have learned that smoke is actually not generally the best sign that your fire is going all right. It's interesting that at the throne, the seraphim, right, who are literally called burning ones, right, when they are close to the throne of God, there's no smoke. Yet we see smoke begin to billow on the ground. And isn't it so true that we see smoke in the temple and in the church of our life? We see what should be burning bright, the presence of God. Often we can find fires not burning well. It's down here on earth, not at the throne of God, that fires burn out. It's here in our own midst where we lose the flame. What makes a flame, right? You know, we know the flame is actually made of three ingredients. I always ask kids this question. So we've got our first ingredient, which is like some kind of ignition or spark. And then there's another ingredient, which is fuel. And the final ingredient is oxygen. Yeah, and heat. Heat comes after it. But oxygen. And so we see it's the distance from, I believe, we see in this picture, the distance from the throne of God is we encounter this like less oxygenated presence of him, right? And it's like, and this is a picture of many things. This is a picture of the earth. This could be a picture of the church. But what I see here is this darkness billowing cloud. And it reminds me of Genesis 1 when it says that the Spirit of the living God hovered over the waters, over the darkness, over the unformed. In Isaiah 60 as well, it paints a picture of this darkness as well. Darkness fills the earth, but the light of heaven has come. And so one of the things that happens, in this smokiness that I notice. I love good smoke though as well. I'm a big fan of smoked meats. So if you can tame the smoke, there's some glory in it. But we see here, what I see is in church, over the years and years that I've been involved in church, I've seen leaders, I've seen regular church followers, regular Christians. I've seen people put on pedestals. I've seen people serve the Lord with all their heart and all their might. And I've seen this thing, which this word that breaks my heart called burnout. Right? There's this thing that has crept into the church, and it's almost become part of our fear of the church. When a church grows and a church begins to boom, everyone becomes worried about this B-O. It's burnout. And burnout breaks my heart. There's no room for burnout, B-O, in the kingdom of heaven. Although sometimes it just happens, right? But, you know, we see it happening more and more frequently. Now, in my experience growing up, I've been a part of the church my entire life. The year that I was born, in my first year of life, my dad planted the church, and I gave him some really good advice of where to plant it, where to do it. But I've grown up in church, and we would see burnout happen, but not so often. Maybe it wasn't talked about as much, I'm not sure. But now we'd see men and women of God go after the Lord for a long period of time and then crash and burn. Now and then, now I'm seeing in our ministry, in our time, we see like people after a couple of months begin to feel this like emptiness and hollowness on the inside. What was burning bright, what the Lord had done in me, now seems to be smoking out. It's here on earth. We see fires burn out. It breaks my heart that smoke fills the house of the Lord. To burn out, I believe, is better phrased to burn without. Anything that's burning out, you know, in the natural, it means it's burning without something. So without ignition, without fuel. What burning out without fuel is like pouring out without pouring in. It's like the wood being consumed. And I've got a word of fire around fire for this church. It's like pouring out without pouring in. I know your theme is personal revival. It's why coming together matters. Right? It's coming together matters, because when I'm running out of fuel, I can come next to you. Right? And when you're running out of fuel, you can come next to me. And together we come close to the presence of God, and He refuels us. You know, this also comes from when we minister, but we fail to have quietness before the Lord. We pour out, we pour out, we pour out, but we need to let the Lord in quietness pour back in to us. You know, it's pushing the kingdom of heaven forward at our own personal cost rather than receiving it like a child. You know, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus. We all know this story. And he comes to Jesus and he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And it's a great question, yet there's a huge flaw in it, because moments before, Jesus just says, it's that if you want to receive the kingdom of heaven, you must receive it as a child. And instantly, he rushes and, "What must I do?" You and I need to learn how to receive. Receiving the kingdom of heaven. You know, He will build His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. All of a sudden, we throw us in the middle of that. It's like, "Oh, it must be me that's going to do that and He's going to get the glory." No, He will do it. So we need to receive the kingdom of God like a child. I encourage you in this season of personal revival, right? Just stay close to Jesus. Stay close to Jesus, right? Let Him pour in and pour in and pour in as you pour out. We burn without fuel when we're more attentive to the ways of the world and the opinions of the world than we are to the hope of the world. How attentive are you to the hope of Jesus Christ for humanity? It is so good to be in a church this morning that prays for the area. That is so good, not just for us, right? And our needs and our what's going on here, that's good too. But that actually goes this, you've hijacked the Great Southland of the Holy Spirit and hijacked it to be the Great South Coast of the Holy Spirit. I didn't hear that, you know, when we hear the song. This is the Great South Coast of the Holy Spirit. All right. We need to be more attentive to the ways of this of the ways of God than the ways of this world. If you continue to just filter everything through, what will my friends think? What popularity will I lose if I attend church? What popularity will I lose if I stand up for this? What popularity will I lose if I follow Jesus with all my heart, soul, and mind, right? With everything I have. We need to not be worried about that. And we need to be more worried about serving our Lord and loving those that he puts in front of us. That is burning without fuel. And that is a way to burn without. The other way we burn without is we burn without closeness. You know, the angels literally called burning ones because they're so close to the fire of God. They're so close. Their proximity. The air is cleaner there. The fires burn brighter in the presence of God. You know, this is without closeness, we will inevitably burn out. Personal relationship with the Lord. Do we still have one? Right? Do we still have one? Or did we have a moment? Was there a time when you were close to the throne of the Lord, but now you find yourself stuck in this cul-de-sac of a Christianity where you're going, I'm just going through the motions, going around the roundabout. Do you have a personal relationship to the Lord? I love personal revival. Not borrowed, not second hands, not like I witnessed a revival. Were you involved? Right? Where is your personal revival? The other way we burn without closeness is when we disconnect from meaningful relationship with his people. His people. I've begun to use this word, this phrase more, his people, rather than the church. Because sometimes the church becomes this thing of, oh, the church hurt me, right? Or the church did this, the church that. Which is true. We are a collective. I'm not just dissing the collective now. But when we just say, when we only refer to each other as a collective now, and we lose the individual personalities, you are his person. He loves you so much. When we come together, we become his people. Right? And to actually have a relationship with Christ without his people is to not fully know him. C.S. Lewis, in a book called The Four Loves, he writes this incredible moment. There's four friends. I don't have it written down, but I think it was Ronald, John, and let's call the other one Charles. No, it was Charles. And then I think So there was four friends that he had. And unfortunately and sadly, one of them passed away. So these guys were thick as thieves, the best friends, all together, all the time. You know, you think about your best lad's friends when you're in high school and, you know, ramp that up. These guys were so close to one another. And he reflects on it in almost like this, it's almost like a detached way, which is borderline mad scientist brilliant. But he reflects and he goes, well, now that Ronald is gone, I, by mathematics, have more of John to myself. And you go, oh, yeah, well, that makes sense. There's less people to share, right? And he says, but in reality, I have far less because only Ronald knew how to make John laugh a certain way. Isn't that true in our friendships? And like in family, how someone else has the ability to bring out a hidden part of someone that we didn't realize was there, or that we can't do it ourselves. Like there's certain friends that I can make laugh. There's certain friends that I can't, right? They're just stone walls, right? And you're like, oh, well, I guess we're friends or family, however that works. but it's the community that actually brings out the fullness of one another. I myself am not big enough to fully call all of you out and to understand all of you in your entirety. If I want to truly know you, I got to get to know you in community with one another. How much less are we able to call out the entirety of God on our own? If you want to know God, if you want to be close to God, you must be close to other people and ideally His people. And not just His people, go into all the world, absolutely. But we need to maintain meaningful relationship with one another, with His people. This is what happens. This is what the smoke is about. It's a picture of us burning without closeness or burning without fuel. But then we see this amazing moment happen. The next thing that happens is burning coal. I love the burning coal. It's a beautiful picture. In the middle of this smoke, we see a bright ember taken out of the brazier of heaven and begin to descend down. I imagine it's spiraling and moving down beautifully, like artistically. And it's a picture of the visitation of Jesus Christ. The smoke, the emptiness of this earth without Him, Jesus Christ comes from heaven, perfectly God, becomes perfectly man out of grace and mercy and out of love to save us. And He comes into our earth. This coal is a picture of the hope that the church carries. This is the hope that you and I carry in Christ Jesus. He is the one who comes to us in the smoke of our lives. Are you weary? Are you tired? Are you burned out on religion? You know, then what does Jesus say? Get away with me. I will show you how to take a real rest. You see, He is the shepherd who comes and looks for the lost sheep. He is the woman who sweeps the house clean in search of the lost coin. That's Him looking for you, right? He is the Father who runs to us when we have the slightest change of heart. He's already got His Nikes on and he's got Strava out. He's like, off I go, right? I'm going to run to these people. He is the one that comes to us. And when this burning coal touches Isaiah's lips, everything changes. You see, his language changes. Right? What was he saying before? He says, woe is me, for I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Don't be so quick to label the world as us and them. The community that you live around that don't yet know Christ is us and them. I love that Isaiah just says, I'm in the same boat as these guys. Like, we are all sons and daughters of the Lord looking for our Savior. Whether we realize it or not, and whether people realize it or not, we are in the same earth, in the same suburb, in the same city. And so I love that he identifies himself as one of the people. But then we see I love this. The coal touches his lips. And this is a picture of Jesus completely changing everything in our world. It says, behold, this has touched your lips and your iniquity is taken away from you and your sin forgiven. What great news for Isaiah that his sin had been forgiven. He says, you're no longer like everyone else. Your sin has been forgiven. You can be confident in Christ. And so us today, we have received the greatest gift in Jesus Christ, this burning coal that drops down and changes everything. He didn't have to climb the throne. Like, I could imagine if there's a robe there, you know, you might try the train of his robe, trying to climb up to the throne. But no, our God is the God who visits us, who becomes known to us. You know, the incarnation of Jesus Christ is the greatest love story the world has ever known. Is that the Creator would leave His throne, bankrupt heaven in search of you and I, because you are loved by Him. When a burning coal touches your lips, you become alive in Him. You become alive in Him. You know, the Church of Laodicea was rebuked for losing their first love in the book of Revelation.
This burning coal should just be a reminder, like a scar. I carry a scar. I carry a few scars. I've got a recent one. You might be able to see it. It's there and there and there, right? It's a splatter scar from oil. I was cooking hamburgers and it got out of control. Scars are great reminders. I carry a scar on my arm here, which is harder to see, maybe in a certain light, but it's there. I can see it. I've always had that scar. As long as I can remember, I was 2 years old. And it was in my onesie. And I've ended up in the coffee industry. And if you're a business owner, I actually would love to pray for you in a moment as well. There's a couple of words I got in my heart. But ended up in the coffee industry as a business owner. And I, at 2 years old, thought I'd start my career by trying to pour boiling water. Dad's hot cup of boiling water that he'd preheated the mug and then brewed his tea. And I poured that all over my suit. And to my parents, it's still probably the most horrific thing they've ever seen. They threw me in the bath, called the doctors, and as they removed the onesie to try get, they threw me in the bath to remove the onesie, all of the skin just started peeling off, right? It's every parent's one of our worst nightmares as parents is ends. So they called the doctor, and the doctor said, "Bring him down," and brought me down in the onesie. And the doctor slowly and gently removed the onesie, and with it, a lot of my skin. And he just told them, he said, "This is not going to end well, like for your child. Like his skin will be permanently scarred." And, they'd seen all the pictures of the pink burns and all that stuff. Sometimes it shows up in Women's Weekly. That was a magazine back in the day. Child with scars. That was my future. But my dad disagreed with the doctor and said, "I disagree. I'm going to believe for new skin." And the doctor goes, "Oh, okay." And so he said, "Could we pray right now?" And the doctor said, "Oh, okay." And so we prayed for new skin, and still the bandages were applied, and all of that stuff was done, and all the treatment was done. And when it came to bandage removal, the doctor looked at my dad and said, "Wow, it's like he's got new skin." And I carry one scar here, which I've always been so grateful for. A mosquito bit me. What a pest mosquitoes are. And it bit me here, and it got like a little infection, right, as I was healing. And that part never, ever, ever healed. I love it because scars are a reminder, right, of what's happened in our past, right? We're not called to minister out of our wounds, right? We always see that happening at times. We go, "Oh, that person's wounded." We are called, because wounds are still bleeding and oozy, and that's not good. We are called to minister out of our scars. Scars tell a story. They carry authority, right? And so we see here Isaiah with the burning coal on his lips would have never spoken the same, right? Would have completely changed sight. Have we lost sight of our first moment with Christ? When we first received the heat, when we first received the fire of God, this will always, if we remember this, this will always keep our fire burning afresh, right? It's this will always lead us, I believe, into action. Worship is in the Old Testament is called avoda, which means our work, our rest, our service of the Lord. And this is always lead us to come alive in Him and to minister from our first love. But isn't it interesting that when He makes you alive, all of a sudden with time and with experience, we begin to think that it's us now who live on His behalf. We are not called to live actually for Him. We are called to live in Him. That's actually, when we begin to change the narrative that God would be lost without me, oh gosh, everything, the church wouldn't run if I wasn't around, right? This is one of the early signs that we're losing our first love, because we've forgotten that it is Him that has made us alive. And so in this life, we are never promised that everything will be easy. In Christ, He actually says that good luck out there. You will experience suffering. You will, and it won't always be easy, right? But sometimes we perceive this suffering when life begins to get hot and life begins to be difficult. I believe it as a church, we can perceive that as like, oh, I'm headed in the wrong direction, right? We have become so heat phobic as a church. So afraid at times of stretch, of the pot starting to simmer. I've stretched out, Lord, and I'm feeling like this is difficult and challenging, and maybe I should stop. It's getting hot. Maybe I'm going to burn out. Right? Remember to burn without. You know, you have way more chance of burning without, right? When you are apathetic. When we become apathetic, when we begin to say everything's too costly, right? That is more of a danger to you than just self-preservation. Self-preservation will only end in lukewarmth, but closeness to our God, remembering that He has saved us, remembering His first love upon us, that is what will actually keep you hot. You know, when fire burns, it radiates. The early church, Acts is called a book of movement. No wonder it begins, right, with fire from heaven. Because as fire burns, it radiates, it pushes air, it moves heat. This is what happens. And so if you and I want to live sent out lives that move for the glory of God, you and I need to come closer to the flame. Apathy will always take us out. That's the rebuke of, I would rather you be hot or cold. Do not become apathetic. He doesn't want us to burn out. He doesn't want us to burn without. He wants to burn within us. That is what He wants us to do. And please don't take this as, oh, I just have to work really hard for the Lord. No, you have to just stay close to Him, right? He brings the opportunity. Right, we have to be faithful to take the opportunity, right? When He brings the person in front of us that we need to forgive, we need to be faithful to forgive, right? If you don't have forgiveness for them, right, borrow His, right? Lord, I don't know how to forgive this person for what they've done, but could you show me? Could you give me forgiveness for this moment? Because I don't have it in myself. You know, when there's someone that's in need, would you meet the need? What a great offering message this morning. We don't actually, everything we have is one another's. You know, please don't deny caring for yourself. But I think sometimes we think we're a better carer for our soul and a better shepherd for our soul than He is. I go, oh God, I just got to get away right now and just take care of myself. Warning sign. He is the one who takes care of you. But we need to be, but please do not ever become afraid of trusting your entire life in the hands of God. That is what it's called to be, for that's what it means for us to be saved and to live out our Christian faith. Is everything, every day I have is His, in the hands of a God who is not lukewarm. He is not cold, but He is very, very, very hot. High temperature. This is Him. He, God, if you want proof, He is, to Moses, He is the burning bush, right? The fire, that the bush that burns yet is not consumed. That is a word for you. You can burn bright for Christ and your life will not be consumed on the altar. David, it says in the Psalms, it is God that keeps my flame lit, not my effort, not my work, but it is God. When Solomon, the consecrated temple happens, fire falls from heaven. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, God, it becomes present. He manifests in the fire. He's like, what's up? Here I am. It's just heat. He is a high temperature God, right? Jeremiah, it says that if I do not say what's in my, if I do not speak about Him, it becomes like a fire burning up in my bones. I can't contain it. I'm weary of holding it in. In Malachi, it says that you and I are refined by fire. John the Baptist says that the one that must increase and I must decrease, that He will come and baptize people not in water, but in fire. The 10 virgins, right? They have the five foolish virgins can't light the flame. You know, oil is not cheap.
to have in our life. To have a ready supply of oil is not cheap. You don't just get it on Sunday morning. You don't just get oil, right, when you're walking down the street, right? You go, and God presents you with a moment for your fire to be lit. You get it on your knees. You get it in your time with Him. You get it in relationship, in worship before Him. Oil is not cheap, but He expects us to be ready to burn. The first church, fire falls as they waited upon Him. Tongues of fire appear. No wonder the church spread like fire across the world. And in Revelation, John sees Jesus Himself with eyes of fire, the source of our fire. Don't fear the fire of God. Don't feel drawing close to God. Don't fear that. But behold the fire of God. You know, the seraphim burning bright because of their proximity to the throne of God. Do you know that angels would look at you and I and envy us and go, you're not just close to Him, but He burns in you. When fire falls on us, it doesn't just affect the outside of us. It affects the inner person. You and I have the opportunity to live closer to the throne of God than even the burning ones themselves. This theme of personal revival, it is not earned. You don't get personal revival by laying your life down and sacrificing everything on the altar, right? It is received by remaining before Him. You know, John 12, Jesus breathes on the disciples. The other day, we're getting a fire started and one of those old combustion stoves. And I was concerned because there wasn't much kindling. You know, it wasn't my stash, right? I was inheriting a stash of twigs and logs, and I was very concerned. So what I did was I sat in front of the fire, and I just would breathe on it, right? Because I thought, if I can get this kindling to burn brighter, quicker, right? The bigger logs have a chance of combusting. I just sat back, I just breathed on it, and it got there, by the way. I've only had a couple of fire fails in my life. You know, whether you've got a... And then sometimes I'd blow on the fire for fun, even when it's burning hot, right? Because you just see it like almost... It's like fire crystallizes on the wood. It's beautiful, right? So whether you're burning a blaze or whether you've just got a small ember left, Jesus is willing to breathe on you and fan that fire or fan that ember into flame. Sometimes this is the power of church. A friend of mine said this the other week. She's been on a huge journey. She just wrote a great book about it. And she was sharing about it in our church. And, you know, pastor's kid, horrible diagnosis on her health, completely healed for about 7 years. And then the illness returned, right? Miraculously healed. She lost hope, right? And she had a whole crisis of faith. But she says this thing, her showing up to church, still week in, week out, she called this thing just called borrowing hope, right? If you're around another one that's burning, you can borrow heat, right? If I've got a wet piece of timber, a wood that I want to burn in the next half an hour, next 40 minutes, I sit it next to the fire. I don't burn it right away, and it dries it out, right? And we're ready to burn. And so this is what church and the family of God is. You know, today I've received hope. When you guys prayed for me before, I just received hope in my heart. I'm borrowing hope. Personal revival. I love that the ember from the brazier, the angel who is like probably made of heat-proof material when you think about it, or they're just perpetually burning. I don't know what's going on there, right? He could have picked up this ember, I'm sure, with his hands and then delivered it.
down to Isaiah, says that he takes tongs. And as I was just pondering on this and specifically for today, I saw the tongs were just God honoring the individual connection that he wanted to have with Isaiah, right? It's not, there are things we receive generation to generation. We receive blessing, right? Sometimes, you know, it's like there's we got to break curses off, right? Like there's generational things that happen through the hands and the lives of other people in our life. But still today, as Jesus breathed on his disciples, he wants to breathe directly on you. Right? Those tongs to me are a picture of that coal was Isaiah's and Isaiah's alone, right? And that was his personal revival, was that moment. That coal, you ask him, when was it, Isaiah? It would be that moment, right? It would never, ever be the same again, right? And so what God has for you is yours, right? Not to just be touched by another. You can't borrow a personal revival, right? You can't inherit a personal revival from a great family. You can't do it. But God needs to invade your life personally, right? Get you on your knees, and you need to receive from him his personal word for you. That's what I believe the tongs mean, is even the angel of God wasn't going to interfere with this personal message for Isaiah. And then verse 8, this is how you know everything changes. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? This isn't just a message about just feel good in the moment, feel good in the room when the worship music is playing and when all your friends are around you, right? Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then I said, here I am. Send me. A personal revival must result in us going, being sent. You know, this word here, send me, means to set out on a journey. It means to stretch out. It means to shoot forth. Who will I send? Who will go forth? Who will break out and go, right? I look at a fire that's burning well, right? I've got a heat gun at home that I use for my fire. You're probably thinking I'm a pyrotechnic. I've got lots of experience right now with my fire stories. I have this heat gun that I hit the coals with. And when it gets hot enough, I don't have to tell it to spread, right? I don't have to plan it. Right? What's the next one that's going to burn? It actually starts to break and ember so much that my kids freak out. They go, oh, is one of those embers going to land in my eye? But who will break forth, right? And I feel like in this moment right now, as God is pouring out upon this church and upon you personally, I feel like the Lord is saying, who will go? There will be a shooting forth. Right? Don't let frailties, don't let your history, your story disqualify you. It actually qualifies you to minister, right? It's not your perfection. It's not all the good things you've done in your life. It's the things that humanize you, that qualifies you to shoot forth and to grow. You know, this is a time in history where I believe that the harvest is ripe and ready. Who will go forth? Burning ones will go forth. Those that have kissed the heat of God. Those that have tasted and seen. Not those that are lukewarm or that those that would shrink back, who will shoot forth and go. If you would close your eyes and bow your head today. I'd love to just invite some of us to respond at this moment. If you're here today and you've just heard me talk about this personal revival thing, there is no greater moment than when we first receive, I believe. Maybe what a moment it is when we first receive salvation. What does salvation mean? Salvation means is that you and I left to our own devices, make ourselves our own little gods and our own little worlds that we create around us. But then we recognize that there is a better way. That those worlds and those ways are flawed and they end in death. But then we go, where's the life? And the life comes from one person and one person alone. His name is Jesus. He is this burning coal. God himself humbles himself to become man, to become just like you and I, even a child, lives a perfect life, a good life. And then he is nailed to a cross. He's killed for the sins of this world, not for anything that he committed or did wrong. It's the greatest injustice of all time, but it is the greatest act of hope. When Jesus was put on that cross and when he breathed his last breath, every single part in your life that was broken, everything you've done wrong, your inner state of how you were born can be changed because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. All we need to do is believe in him and accept his gift that he gave on the cross, which was his life. We accept that. And it's a tragic story if it wasn't for 3 days later that he rose again. That actually they put him in the grave and 3 days later he walked out. He walked out alive in the hope of the resurrection is that actually that death will not be any of our ends. That actually if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that when you and I finish this life, we will continue to live in his glory and in his presence like these angels surrounded by him. And there's hope for you today in this moment as well. If you're here today and you go, how do I get this hope that you're talking about? How do I find and have access to this? It simply says in Romans, if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that anyone that does that, no matter what they've done, no matter what school they went to, no matter what suburb they grew up in, no matter what their family was like, no matter what their history was like, they can be saved. And if that's you today, you say, Chris, I've got a history. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Would you raise your hand? Yeah, I see that hand. Yeah, I see that hand. If that's you today, you just want to raise your hand and say yes to Jesus. Yes, I believe that you died on the cross. Yes, I believe that you rose again. Yes, I want to believe in you. Give me a wave if that's you. There's no greater, more important decision you can make in your life than to give your heart to Jesus Christ. If that's you, give me a wave. Anyone else? I see you. Great. Well, why don't we pray this church together, this prayer together, church? With this wonderful person who's responding today. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and bringing me new life. I accept your forgiveness today for everything that I've done wrong. I put all my hope in you. I'll follow you with all of my life. I am a Christian. Amen. Amen. Why don't we just give that person a round of applause this morning for making the best choice in their life. I'd love to share a couple of things real quickly. I know I'm running out of time, but this church, it's such an honor to be here, hey? Like, yeah, you don't know what to expect. And so I sat down before we came down and I wanted to just say, God, what am I walking into? And how can I encourage this beautiful church, my family? And this word celebration church, I'm like, that's a very marketable name. Very marketable. Like, I'm like, that's awesome. Like, and as I sat and thought about it for longer, I thought, you know what? It is so much more than just a good name. Like, this is a brave name, right? this name celebration in our day and age, I believe, is so incredibly countercultural and yet to the world, but yet so cultural to the kingdom of heaven. You know that you and I are part of not a misery club, right? But we are seated at a table, and the Bible always talks about festivals filled with joy and feasting. You know, I believe, I wrote down this and I'll do my best, but I believe that remembrance is a key part of this church's identity. And I'm not exactly sure of the length of time the church has been here or who started what, but remembrance. Do not forget what God began here. And continue to keep that fire burning. You know, I love this. We will tell these things to our children's children. And I believe that that it's almost like regularly you need to tell the story. Regularly you need to tell the story. Not just play church, but tell the story, right, of what God has done, the faithfulness. When I'm on this property, I feel the faithfulness of God. I see that there's been a season. There's been a season of wandering. And I'm not sure if it's got to do with a transition, but I feel like there's been of oscillating side to side. What do I use? What tool do I use? You know, and Benaiah and Charlie, I feel like the Lord has gifted you and graced you with the ability to lead with both your left hand and with your right hand. The tribe of Benjamin, that was their thing, is that they could actually pull the bow and arrow either way. And I feel like there's the hand of the warrior and there's a hand of the farmer or the nurturer, both upon you. And the Lord has asked you not to favor one over the other, but to lead courageously with both. With both. What I saw over the church was I actually saw like an old school circle dance. Wild, right? Like, I'm not giving you suggestions for the next event. But a circle dance, hand in hand, around a fire, right? So last night arriving and there's beautiful fire burning out there. I'm like, oh, Lord, there's something about this fire. Right, this personal revival will be absolutely key. This year will be key. This will be a year that you remember for generations to come, because what's going to happen is that the coal is going to get so hot that it's going to shoot forth. The coal is going to get so forth, and you might not actually have say of where it shoots forth. But I think you're okay with that. And because you're okay with that, God will inflame this church, right? I just sense it's never been about you guys, right? There's a prophetic promise that I don't know what it is. I don't have a clue, but I know there's a prophetic promise that you need to fight for and not let go of, even when you feel like it's out of reach. You feel like you're losing grip on it. It's going away. Hold tight. You know, hold tight. God will be faithful with what he's promised. This circle dance, I see everybody, there's been in a season of everybody holding tightly to one another, afraid to let go, right? Like, woo-hoo, like, don't let go, don't let go. But for the circle dance to grow, circle leaders must let go and reach for the next person. It's the open door. Yeah, come on, join in, right? And you see people that the includers. I had this sense that for you guys will actually identify leaders, not just on skill set. You'll identify circle leaders, right? Not just on skill sets, not just on gifting, but on their ability to let go and welcome other people in, the ability to reach out, right? There is, it's, and I think that's what God has gifted you with, is actually strong families that have the ability to reach out and include. We were included as soon as we arrived. You guys included us straight away. And then your team included us and included us again. I see you fostering family without forfeiting fire. fire in its nature is like, it's not a container, but it is a releaser. It releases heat, sparks, and flames, even larger than the first. I wrote this down here. And again, I submit this humbly to you, but your church plants will go beyond, may go beyond even what you experience here. This would make other leaders insecure, but not you guys. That's a day you'll smile at. It's truly what you hope for. Is that the leaders and the teams and the people in this church would actually run ahead and go beyond. And frustration is a thief of joy and zeal. But the Lord will give you an abundance of joy and zeal. And specifically over you, Charlie, I had this picture of Windy Road. We were on a windy road. And I'm always like, Beth, slow down. When Beth's driving. Beth likes to drive because she gets car sick. Not because I'm a lesser man. But she just doesn't like my driving. She vomits at it. We're doing the windy drive down. I love it. I actually love the windy drive. I don't fear car sickness or motion sickness. I live for it. But Charlie, most people slow down for turns. And I just felt the Lord saying, you're different. And like the bobsled, you actually rest on the straight. I see the things that people would go, that's too hard, that's too tricky. We need to wind back. I see you knowing how to slide up the wall, the curve, and go down and go, let's actually rest on the straight. And it's going to give you momentum and momentum and momentum rather than stop, start, slow down, speed up on the straight, right? And it's like, and then hit the brakes again, something else has come up. I feel like you're strategic in this and your ability to navigate, to make simple what other people find complicated, right? And so there's going to be this thing where an obstacle comes up and you go, let's go faster at it. Let's go faster at it. Like, let's not, everyone else says, all the church books say, oh, don't do this, don't do that. I feel like you've got this different spirit where you'll lean into it, and from that the church is going to get great momentum and great speed. And Benaiah, the father's heart beats on you, right? Like, I don't know if I've met a pastor that has a heart like yours. Like, just, yeah, like, you've just got this thing. It's like, hey, everyone's welcome. I know you're an introvert. Like that's cool, so am I. But it's like, you just got such a big heart for people. And it's like, and I think it makes other leaders feel really safe that you haven't made it all about you, right? You've actually released, and that's what fathers do. There's only one person in your life, one other man in your life that really genuinely wants you to do better than you. It's not your brother. It's not your workmate. It's the one thing a father has for his son that no other man has for you or carries for you, is that genuinely you want others to go beyond. And I just sense that that's such a healthy thing. And so, oh God, I bless this church. I bless this couple. Pour out, Lord, your fire upon this church, Lord, in a way, Lord, that would see, Lord, this region, Lord, and even all the way down to Eden. Lord, all the area, God, that's under the influence and under the ministry of this church and its leaders, God, I pray that your fire would fall upon it, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that there would be, Lord, as they draw close, God, things would become easier. Lord, that leaders, Lord, would actually begin to stand up and be counted and recognized. And Lord, as the heat intensifies, God, that this church would shoot forth. We rebuke the smoke, right? A fire burning, not like inefficiently. God, we pray for efficient fire, Lord, shooting forth, flame, Lord, fan it into flame. What you've done in their life, what you've promised on their life, God, over their family and their children. God, we fan into flame, God, Lord, why you have called them and grabbed a hold of them afresh. And Lord, I just thank you for them so much, Lord, over anyone in this room right now, Lord, that's battling depression. Lord, we break the power of depression, Lord, off, Lord, our minds, Lord, off our families. God, those that, Lord, are struggling right now, Lord, even, Lord, with not enough financially, God, we release the financial blessing of heaven, the provision of heaven upon this congregation. God, we pray, Lord, that their houses would go forward, their homes would go forward. Lord, those here that are actually still waiting to buy, trying to buy, I pray for miracles, Lord, to happen, Lord, that they would be, Lord, that they would, Lord, be able to buy houses, Lord, start families, and Lord, I pray for your great blessing to be upon this house. I thank you for them, God. I thank you that this is, Lord, that they are not just playing church every Sunday, but they are changing the world in which they live. We declare the great South Coast of the Holy Spirit, God, and that this church would be all a part of that. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you would like to know more about our church, please go to celebrationchurch.com.au.